one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Come ye sinners, lost and hopeless, Jesus' blood can set you free. For he saved the worst among you, when he saved a wretch like me. Make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, oh yes I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. To the faint he giveth power, through the mount he makes a way. The vilest sinner clean. And I know, oh yes I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, yes I really know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, yes, I really know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
When I got saved, my mother was there. Many times I've got people converted in a church service. I remember a little red-headed boy in Houston one time. He got saved. And he went home down on Avenue J and said, "Mama, guess what? I give my heart to Jesus." And she and her wicked husband laughed at him. He fell across the bed and wept most of the afternoon. Brother, when I got saved, my mother hugged my neck. My daddy didn't speak a word, but he came by with his old bunion hand and squeezed my hand, saying, "Son, you're going in the right direction now." Most children have never had a real chance to get saved and live like it in the home. I never can forget that glad hour, who I felt the Savior's cleansing power. My sins and guilt he canceled right there, and was there he answered my dear mother's prayer. Oh, praise the Lord for saving grace, who will meet up yonder face to face, the home of love together. We'll sing evening, morning, and noon, and we'll let the choir go down tonight, and then we'll begin the message.
Evening and morning and at noon, who will I pray and cry aloud?
And he shall hear my voice, he shall hear my voice. Evening and morning and at noon.
Chosen for the subject tonight, seven W's. Seven W's. Sometimes we complain about our weakness, or we brag on our weakness, or we seek to overlook our weakness. But Paul has a matter to open up with us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and it'll be verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, base things of the world. Things which are despised hath God chosen, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Now, look at verse 25, if you will, along with the verses I've read. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. We often pray for the strength of God. It might be well to pray for the weakness in order that we might know our need for His strength. Most people are too strong to be saved. Not weak enough as Christians sometimes to be used, at least willing to admit our weakness. Notice what he said. The weakness of God is stronger than men. The weakest thing God has is stronger than anything we have. Now then, there's another verse. 1 Corinthians 9 and 22. Now before we read it, I want to ask you a question. You can turn to the 9th chapter, be ready. I want to ask you something. Do you really want to be a soul winner? You don't have to be eloquent. A man just called me a while ago, and from East Texas or Louisiana somewhere, he said, "Brother Olaf, my wife and I want to come down and stay probably 3 months. My wife went to the hospital 6 times last year. She's been there 4 times this year. And of all things, the doctors have found out she's allergic to oak trees.
Well, if it doesn't work here in town, we'll ship her offshore. And I know there'll be no oak trees. I don't think there's many here. Now, some of you mountaineers, just remember this. I'm a pilot, and when I came in today and announced about 3/4 mile visibility and 500 or 400 foot ceiling somewhere along there, you're always glad to fly in the flatland. At least the pilots don't run into the mountains and get killed down here. But you know, and I've been in a beautiful place today, and I don't know what the Lord is doing, none of my business. But one reason I preach tonight on this, most people never learn to wait. And if they do, they don't wait patiently. And they miss the blessing of waiting. They get out of sorts. They blame God. They try to show God their time schedule. He's not interested in it. God doesn't run on your time schedule or mine. You know, I think, and I thought of this story today, and I think I'll tell it. It might apply to you like it does to me. There was a man that went to a farmer and said, I'd like a job. He said, what would you willing to do? He said, anything. Just anything. It doesn't make any difference. Just anything. Well, he said, fine, I'm going to see if you'll work. He said, I'd like you to go cut that wood pile full of wood up and prepare it in size for the stove. He said, be glad to. Pew! He'd gone through it, ricked it, stacked it, walked around and said, what else? Man said, boy, your son. He said, that's no problem at all. He said, I'd like for you to go clean out the lot and haul the fertilizer out. In a little while, he'd scooped and shoveled and come back. He said, do you have another job for me? The man was amazed. And so he assigned him another rather difficult job. He whipped through it and came back and said, I'm reporting for the next job. Well, he said, I tell you what. He said, I've got a bunch of potatoes out there in the barn, and they need to be assorted. You need to put the little ones over here and the big ones over here, and put those that are beginning to rot over here. And those that are not so good. And so the man said, well, I'd be glad to do it. He walked in the crib, and he didn't come out for some time. And the man looked in, and he'd fainted. The man just landed in a dead faint. The man threw water on him. He came to. He said, sir, he said, what in the world? He said, you've been the best worker. He said, is the work too? No, he said, it's not too hard at all. But he said, these decisions are killing me. Now, I don't know whether you know what I'm talking about or not, but there'll come a day when you'll know that we're in a decision time. And I've asked the Lord, and I believe I'm there. I'm completely neutral. Whether here or there or somewhere or in the air. I mean, just any of those places will be all right. Now, we're going to come to a number of W's, but the first one is, we better learn how to use the weakness that we might have. Now, notice 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and it'll be verse 22. To the weak became as weak, that I might gain the weak. Now, here's the greatest statement ever made to win souls. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now, when you get to that place, you'll be a soul winner. I made all things to the weak, I became as weak. It didn't mean to the cigarette smoker, I smoked. The cocktail sipper, I sipped. To the backslider, I slipped. No, sir. It means that we did not parade our strength in the presence of the weak in order to make him feel bad. But we're able to say, I've been there. I know what it means to suffer that kind
of a condition. And so he said to the weak, I became as weak. I become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And notice what he said in the next verse. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. I better read these other verses because it'll tell you about the race. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth a prize, so run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the master is temperate in all things. Now temperance is only for good things. God never did teach temperance in liquor drinking. He never did teach temperance in lying. He never did teach temperance in murder. He never did teach temperance in stealing. Temperance is to be applied only to that which is good. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. That's shadowboxing, isn't it? I came up, you know, we never knew what it was. We every once in a while get in a fight, but it wasn't no shadowboxing. I mean, if I missed, I didn't mean to. But you've heard me tell about going in the gym down here, you know. And that's, you know, we never had any boxers around our place. And a fellow was out there in the gym. I walked in and boy, he was just really. And I looked and I thought, he's seeing something I don't see. See? Boy, and listen, I want you to know he'd drive through. He'd hit him like that and then wham, just like that. I said, boy, I'd hate for him to hit me. I walked up to him, and of course I know I'm a little on the dumb side, but I said, what about it? He said, I'm shadow boxing. Boxing with his shadow. You know what I'm talking about? That's about a lot of our church members. They never hit at anybody, hit at the shadow. Well, dear friend, you haven't hurt your shadow. And if you hit it, you haven't hit a thing. Brother, if you ball up your fist for God, strike at the devil and hit him. Shadow boxing. But I keep under my body. Keep my body under. There's your battle right there. It's the body battle. It's the body battle. And bring it in subjection. Now notice, it didn't say I keep under somebody else's body and bring it. No, you bring your own under. I bring my body under, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. That's the battleground. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Be well to mark this series of verses. Chapter 12, verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Oh, listen. What a verse. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. I want you to look at that for a moment. For when I am weak, then am I, but I'd like to turn around, then I am strong. In other words, when I am weak, the I am comes, and then I'm strong. A lot of difference. I am weak, and the I am said, well, I'm strong, help yourself. And then I become strong as I recognize the weak. The second thing that I want to mention is wealth. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 24. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. And that doesn't mean steal from him, but it means long for somebody else to be wealthy, healthy, and for him to get the blessing. Now, did you know when you get like that, and people sometimes say, and they'll tell you the same thing, if you give your life or try to help somebody else, and they say, Brother Olaf, you must be mighty unselfish, you know. You've heard that. The truth of the matter is, I'm so selfish until I have to do for others in order to get more for myself. Now, I'm just confessing the truth, but that's the way it comes. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so I give because I'm going to get more blessing. And I'm coming out ahead of the man I gave to. And so if you really are as selfish as you ought to be, you'll covet the best gifts. And you, I know sometimes you can give with the wrong motive and so forth, but brother, you never lose by giving. Never forget Woodson Arms when I started preaching. He made a statement that's impressed me throughout my life. He said, the more you give away of Christ, the more you have left of it. Well, of course, that's true. The more you give out, the more you receive in. That's what he was saying. Ephesians 2 and verse 12. What a great chapter. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth. Amen. Brother, it's good to be a member of the commonwealth, isn't it? Did you know that every Christian is a member of the commonwealth? You know what the commonwealth is? It's Christ and all that goes with him. The commonwealth of Israel. Do you know what it is to be a member of the commonwealth? Now, it's uncommon for the world, but it's common for us. We have a common salvation. We have a common Savior. We have a common experience. We have a common faith. We have a common wealth. And you have access to the same bank that I'm drawing out of. And there's one thing dead sure. Everybody signs his check in the same name. If you get anything out of the bank, you always sign it in Jesus' name. Yes? Well, there's something else, and I'll just pass quickly to it and away from it, and that's weaned. Have you ever been weaned? It's hard sometimes for a husband to wean his little wife away from mama. She just wants to go see mama. Whether he's able to send her or not, I just want to see mama. You ought to have thought about that before you got married. And we got some big old blubber-headed men, same thing. Say to the wife, we can't both go, but I'm going to see mama. I've never been away from my mom this long, and I'm going to see mama. Just never been weaned. Never been weaned. We got some people in the church, I'm afraid, across the country that have never weaned from the bottle. They just still on the bottle. The Bible, Hebrews talks about it. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need of the milk of the Word. Dear friend, I believe that when a baby gets old enough to just cut and chew the nipple off the bottle, you ought to just start feeding him and wean him. Let him start chewing on something besides rubber. And while I'm on that, wean him from sucking thumbs and fingers. I've seen little children, the teeth way out, you know, look so pitiful. You know why? The mother said, I just couldn't break him from sucking his son. And so you got a bunch of crooked teeth and he'll be ugly the rest of his life and it's the mother and dad's fault. Bunch of little old thumb-sucking babies. You say, you ought not preach like that. Well, I'm just trying to help you. Listen, I'll tell you something else. When you let your child eat a bunch of filth and fake and rot-out teeth, and put a bunch of weight on, they'll, especially girls, will hate you for it when they get older and can't get it off. Mothers and dads are the custodians of the health of their children. And you have no right, because of their whimpering and whining and standing at the checkout counter picking up all the candy and the chewing gum he can carry off. Why don't you just take a pistol and shoot him, get him out of his misery? Oh, you say you're cruel. I'm not any more cruel than you are. You're killing him gradually.
We're glad you've joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff and the message, 7 W's. Now, if you'd like to receive that message on a CD, simply ask for RO2854. That's RO2854 and include $10. And we'd like to have today's date and the call letters to this radio station. To order by credit card, dial toll free at 1-800-772-7507. Our address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. The July offer for the month is a music CD called A Message in Song. The uniqueness of this CD is it's all songs that were recorded at a revival Brother Roloff was holding.
The Family Altar Quartet was also singing some of the songs that you hear, such as I'll Have a New Body, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning, Oh, What a Savior, and many, many more. To receive this CD, ask for offer number 3678. And to help with postage and shipping, we ask for at least $10. Now, to order by credit card, dial toll-free at 1-800-772-7507. Or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And be sure to check the website now. It's www.roloff.org, and you'll find some interesting facts on that particular website. So now the offer today is a message and song, the offer number 3678, and include $10. We want to reach out to you to help us during the summer months as we hesitate in dropping some radio stations, but we're just about forced to do so. We need to hear from you today. Call us at 1-800-772-7507 or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. This is Gene Price speaking for the SAP, wishing you a wonderful day. Looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by Blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of Blue Galilee. They sat at His feet, and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea.